Welcome to Just Us and the Climate, a podcast by the Climate Justice Coalition, where we bring climate change back down to earth and show how it's not only a crisis, but an opportunity to build a better and more just world.
Welcome to another episode of Just Us and the Climate. My name is Shazia Ibrahim. I am the Digital and Communications Specialist at the Climate Justice Coalition, and I'll be your host for today's episode. I'm joined in studio by Ngobile Cleopatra Shezi, who is an organizer at the CJC. And today I'm going to be speaking to Cleo about her organizing work, particularly the work that she's been doing in Mpumalanga. We'll also touch a little on the Integrated Resource Plan, or the IRP, and the action we are planning later this month to highlight its harm and ineffectiveness. Cleo, I want to ask you, when did you start working in Mpumalanga, and when did you start realizing how important the area is as a site of struggle in the climate justice movement?
Okay, I started working in Mpumalanga in 2023, and I realized then in 2023 that, in fact, Mpumalanga is the most vulnerable province ever in South Africa when coming to air pollution and water poverty. So working there is to push very hard in showing our leaders or our politicians that, in fact, they are not for the people. They are for themselves. And we all know that Mpumalanga, in fact, is where everything is happening. It's like a stomach of the country. So that is why Mpumalanga is so important. And a lot of mines are there, a lot of other issues which degrade the human dignity are happening there in Mpumalanga.
Thanks, Cleo. Why do we say Mpumalanga is not a sacrifice zone?
Thanks, Shaza, for that question. The reason why we are saying Mpumalanga is not for sacrifice, it's because we've seen in all the COPs and in all the demands of DMRE, it's not doing anything about the health hazard issues of people who are staying in Mpumalanga. And now it's worse with the load shedding, because DMRE, in fact, is putting more crisis on top of a crisis in Mpumalanga. Even the COP27 proved to us that, in fact, Papra Chris and them are not about the people. They are about themselves or their own jackets. And now the air pollution is getting even more worse. And Gwede once said, coal will be clean. There will be no clean coal. And the more they dig the coal, is the more the people of Mpumalanga, they are getting more and more affected. So we want to put a stop now in people of Mpumalanga.
Sure, I completely get that. It feels like the government and corporates are just using Mpumalanga as a site of extraction while their pockets are getting fatter and fatter and people are not benefiting, they're actually suffering.
Yes. Just to share an example with you, people of Mpumalanga, they stay next to, just close to the mines, and the mines doesn't even hire or give work to the SMEs around their working zone. Instead, they want female comrades to take off their panties and so that they can get a job or a decent salary or money to buy water or money to even buy bread. And that is not fair to the entire community. And we are bringing up a girl child. What does that say to them? Which means we are promoting kids not to be more reasonable and to stand up for their own rights. And there are about 8 or 9 kids in Mpumalanga that I know and I've seen that they are suffering from proper speech. And that it's due all because of air pollution, water, contaminated water. And no one is saying anything about those things. No one is even compensating the parents of those kids or taking those kids to a decent hospital so that at least they get a chance to speak properly and things like that.
Yeah, so there's 2 issues there that you touched on that maybe we should speak a little bit more on. The first one is the issue of women having to use sex work non-consensually just to get a job. Don't the mines promise communities jobs? So if you're supposed to give the community jobs, why are you also expecting them to perform sexual favors for those same jobs which you promised in the first place, right?
So the response from the mines, yes, they do promise the SMEs jobs and developments. But when coming to actual doing those things, it's not happening. And that is why every now and then we will see people demonstrating in front of the mines and with no response. And sometimes others, they are even targeted and being threatened because of busy trying to push the agenda of holding the mines accountable or based on what they've promised the communities. And that is not fair. Why do we have to be marked and being promised to be killed for something that you are promised to do or to have?
And in the meantime, as you say, they're busy polluting the environment. The water isn't clean. Air pollution is making kids and all people sick.
And if at least they can offer water, clean, safe water and proper sanitation, that was going to be much more better, because at least there will be a development that the communities are saying such and such a mine, they've assisted us during to these things. But there's nothing to show. And yet the mines are operating with illegal licenses and DMRE is not saying anything or even holding them accountable. Communities are the ones who took initiative to Google and search for information based from the mines, whether they are operating legally so or not legally so, and only to find out DMRE knows all about these issues. And yet, because they are getting monies from this mine, they are benefiting. They don't care whether they are operating with proper licenses or they are operating with unexpired licenses. So it's a challenge. If you can hear the sound of my voice, it's like breaking at some point. Not to say it's because I'm like that. It's because of the pollution that I inhaled. Just imagine I stayed there for 1 week. What about the people who are staying there every day of their lives? And it's very depressing and disturbing, because Mantashe himself was staying in Mpumalanga. The question that maybe we have to ask and he has to address is, why did you move from Mpumalanga, Mr. Mantashe? It's because you know how is like and feel like to stay in Mpumalanga next to a mine.
Cleo, when in Mpumalanga have you been doing work, and what are some of the communities that you are connected to?
So I've been doing work with Middleburg. I've been doing work with Emalahleni, Carolina, Secunda, Highveld, and Emelo. And all of the activists there and community members and organization members, they form the organization members, organizations, because they seem fit that no one is talking for them. They better organize themselves so that they can defend the future of their upcoming generations. So me working there and being on the ground with them face to face, walking with them and seeing and feel the texture of the water. And when the water can gave a water testing kit, it also proved that this water is not 100% clean, not even, I don't know, even though you can boil it to, like, it's not okay to drink that water. And they don't want to believe the activists when they say this water is not user friendly. And we ask ourselves why themselves in their mind they can't drink this water from the taps, because they know the damage they've caused to our communities.
Are these some of the main concerns coming out of the communities, particularly the drinking water issue?
Yes, so this is the major concern of water and health, even the education system at some point, because a lot of kids, they had to abscond at school because they are sick every now and then, and like they can't even continue with their studies and things like that. And I ask myself a question, that why these minds, when they come to Mpumalanga, they don't take Mpumalanga people because they know that their health is not okay to produce more profit for them. That is why they come with people, their own people from a safe areas to work for them, so that they can also live while they are sick too. And there is a high rate of unemployment. You can imagine, Shazia, if they can't hire people from within around their radius, what does that mean?
No, those are big problems. I mean, when you're messing with the health of people, you're messing, as you say, with the education system, with the workforce, with people's just general health and well-being. And on top of that, as you say, there's an unemployment crisis, and that makes it easy for them to exploit people, as you spoke earlier about what they're doing to women. I understand why you say Mpumalanga is not a sacrifice zone.
Yeah, there's lots. There's lots, Shazia, really, because if it was me, I was going to say, let's move everybody around Mpumalanga to elsewhere. Because just imagine, I had to cry the whole week, because if you go to different areas, you get different challenges. And it's not within the range of human rights or human dignity for that matter. So Mr. Kweremantashe must do something. It's either we shut down DMRE because they don't know what they are doing. They are not doing what they were supposed to do in the first place. Because if they were doing what they were supposed to do, we were not going to have mines that they operate with expired or with no licenses. So it's very disappointing. I'm very disappointed. And coming now elections, they'll be making door-to-door in the same affected people, requesting them to vote for them and bribe them with food parcel blankets that won't even last them a year or even 2 weeks for that matter. What does that mean to a health of a vulnerable human being?
And I think what's even more frustrating and heartbreaking is that these people are suffering like this, and yet Eskom is still a failing entity. And yet we still have load shedding and load reduction all over the country, which is affecting people.
You know, when coming to the load shedding issue or to the issue of not having electricity at all, it saddens me because I just imagine here is the coal plant just at your doorstep and yet you don't have electricity, knowing very well that this coal is going to generate electricity for somebody staying in Sentin, wherever. But you are the one who have to bear the brunt of all the challenges that come from the processes of generating that electricity. And it's very bad because in the health department and even hospitals there in Mpumalanga, they are giving people medication that will last them 3 months, sometimes a month. And those medications, at some point, they have to be kept in a fridge. How are you then going to keep your medication in the fridge so that it helps you and your health if you don't have electricity or if you are going to experience abnormal load shedding? And again, the minute there is lot of load shedding, there is also a water shedding because some of the water is being pumped by using electricity. So you can imagine.
That's ridiculous. Last year, a group of youth climate change activists, including myself, were invited to the Kutala Colliery by the DMRE and Seriti Mines to physically see how they mine coal. And, you know, so we went down into those mines, Cleo, imagine, with the minister himself to see how they mine. But I think the issue that we faced as the youth afterwards was, yes, it was interesting to go down to the coal mine to see all the machinery, to see how they extract coal, you know, the technology that they're using and so on. But I mean, when it was time to have a discussion, it's like we're on completely different planets, the youth and Mantashe, and I'm sure yourself and Mantashe, the communities and Mantashe. I mean, we were told that because we said there's no clean coal, we're anti-development. I just feel like either they don't understand or they don't want to understand the effects that their mining is having on the people. They just don't care.
So, Shazia, I'll be honest with you. They don't care about human. They only care about money. The money that will benefit few individuals and not everybody. So the COVID showed us that if these people, they can eat money for the PPEs, they can even kill us physically. So, because that's part of killing us if they don't use what is going to help us. So people like Mantashe, like personally, I don't take Mantashe serious because Mantashe is from Mpumalanga. One, Mantashe knows life at Mpumalanga because he stayed there. Mantashe, why did he move in Mpumalanga to go to a better place? It's because he knows that life at Mpumalanga, it's not doable. And if we can't hold minds accountable to follow proper procedure and protocols of mining, what are we saying? Now we are experiencing earthquake anytime. We are scared because anything is possible while you are inside your house where you think you are safe. Because under the ground, there is nothing. And nothing that is not even benefiting you. So until they know and understand the loss and damages they've caused in our communities, then that is when we will say we have proper leaders. But for now, we are not taking them serious. Come elections, they will be lying about jobs. The jobs that won't even last for 3 months. It will be part-time, temporary, and with no decent even living wage. Just imagine hiring a person to install a water prepaid meter or a electricity prepaid meter, that on the long run, that particular person who installed that water prepaid meter and electricity prepaid meter will be affected himself or herself. It's just not fair.
I mean, that brings us to the action that we're having at the end of the month, right? So let me introduce it for our listeners. What exactly is the Integrated Resource Plan? Simply put, it's the government's roadmap for meeting South Africa's electricity demand. It lays out how our current electricity system can be upgraded and expanded to keep the lights on for our growing population. In the latest iteration of the IRP, the government is steering us towards a path that many of us find concerning. Instead of a forward-thinking, sustainable energy future, we're being locked into an expensive, polluting, and unequal system that will perpetuate the cycle of load shedding for years to come. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy's draft Integrated Resources Plan has raised concerns across the board. We believe that it's tailored to serve the interests of corrupt elites, polluters, and corporations, and does not prioritize the needs of the South African people. It, in fact, just furthers the cycle that we're speaking about right now, Cleo, as we're speaking about Mpumalanga. And that's why people all over the country are coming together to reject this IRP and demand a better alternative. So we're calling for a people's power plan, one that delivers safe, affordable, and clean energy for all. It's about creating a more socially owned renewable energy future that leaves no worker or community behind in the transition. Now, Cleo, what do you have planned, without saying too much, for the IRP action in Mpumalanga with regard to holding this DMRE and Eskom accountable?
So we are planning a march that will be taking the demands of all people who are staying in Mpumalanga. And now that they've been having this demonstration for decades now, and no one wants to respond positive to them, so we decided to bring almost everybody on board, rather than Middelburg going there alone, Secunda goes there alone. So we decided that let everybody come and let's show DMRE that in fact we are united, and in fact we want a better future, and there must be nothing for us without us as the community members of Mpumalanga. You can't be taking decision with our lives on our behalf without even engaging for that matter with the communities. And with the IRP, it's even worse, because even the time of saying something based on the IRP, the communities, they are not giving a fair chance to speak their mind so that they can convey what they think is best for them. So this action will happen on the 20th of March. And obviously, we are going to give the DMRE, Department of Health, Department of Education, ESCOM, and their reps for the mines a time frame that they must engage with communities and do what is right to show at least cooperation to the communities. I cannot say much on if they are not responding, what's going to happen, but it will be very hard for some mines and other things to continue in operating in Mpumalanga. Because people, they are not stupid. They see what these people are about.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Cleo. If you're feeling the impact of load shedding, of energy poverty, of extreme weather events, now is the time to join the chorus of voices who are saying no to the current crisis. Already, civil society groups are rallying, making written submissions to the DMRE, outlining how and why the current plan falls short. The Climate Justice Coalition's People's Power events happening across 6 provinces in the week of March 18th is something you need to join. It's an opportunity to stand up for energy planning that prioritizes our health, our jobs, our planet, and our future. If you'd like to get involved, please follow the Climate Justice Coalition on social media. You can also contact either Farron Pedro, who is coordinating the national events, or Cleo, if you'd like to get involved in Mpumalanga. And I'll put Farron and Cleo's details in the description of this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Shazia, and thanks to the listeners. Until we meet again.
Thank you for listening to Just Us and the Climate, a production of the Climate Justice Coalition. To find out more about the coalition and our work to advance climate justice, visit climatejusticecoalition.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it widely. The more people it reaches, the more we can help grow the movement for climate justice. This podcast is made possible thanks to the financial support of the Open Society Foundation.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.